We started, almost finished, but we have a little piece left to finish the sugya of appointing a Sanhedrin Ketana, and that appointment has to be achieved by the Sanhedrin Agdol of 71 elders. So where and how many different Batei Dinim do they have to appoint? And the Gemara brings a brice here to derive two machayvim, so to speak, two chiyuvim. One is a chiyuv to equip each city with a Sanhedrin Ketana, and that's derived from the word She'arecha. And then there's another chiyuv that's derived from the word Lishvatecha, that every shevet has to be equipped with a bezdin. And that bezdin is Sanhedrin Ketana of 23 judges. And who does the appointment? The Sanhedrin Agdol. Now the question that we asked yesterday was, why is it necessary to fulfill this mitzvah of equipping every city with its own Sanhedrin, if in any event every shevet needs its own bezdin? So for example, Tosas Divrei Maskil Shoftim, that small Tosas, points out that if you have two members of two different shvatim living in the same city and one sues the other, then since they belong to two different shvatim, neither one of them can force the other one to be judged in the bezdin of the shevet. But since there are many members of a particular shevet in that city, and another shevet is also well represented in that city, so you have representation of two different shvatim living in one city, then you'll have to equip that city not with one Sanhedrin, but rather with two Sanhedrins, because of the special mitzvah of Lishvatecha, which means that the shevet itself is mechayev. So that if two members of the same shevet live in the same city, then it's crystal clear they'll take their they'll take their din Torah to the bezdin of the shevet in the city. But once you have another group, another shevet that's represented in the city, you'll need another bezdin in order to represent that shevet. Again, in a case where you have a din udvarim from two members of the same city that belong to two shvatim, it seems that neither one of them could compel the other one to go to the bezdin of his shevet, because the other disputant, he claims, well, that's not my shevet, I don't have to show up in that bezdin. So the question that we asked yesterday is, once you have a requirement of representing a shevet, and maybe even more than one shevet, with its own bezdin in that city, so why do I need another chiyuv of a bezdin of the city? Why do we have a mitzvah of bisharecha? It seems like the mitzvah of bishvatecha, yesh b'chal masayimana, will certainly cover the mitzvah of bisharecha, meaning if according to Tosfos I've got Zvulunites and Naphtaliites living in the same city, I need two batei dinim in that city. Why, you know, then lishvatecha has already obligated me not only in one city, in one bezdin, but also in the second bezdin. So why do I need the pasuk of sharecha, and what's its purpose? So yesterday we suggested two possible resolutions to this problem. Either Einochinami, there's no separate mitzvah of She'arecha, but the word She'arecha is a gili milsa, we said. It sort of like reveals and defines the nature of the mitzvah of Lishvatecha. That don't think Lishvatecha means that you could have some hub city, some central or capital city within Zvulun, and you equip that one city with the bezdin of 23 judges for that whole territory called Shevet Zvulun. No, the pasuk Lisharecha tells me that as long as that there are members of Zvulun in any particular city, you have to supply that particular city with a bezdin for that shevet in that city. And how do I know that it's not enough to have some sort of general area, a neutral territory within Zvulun, and have one overriding bezdin for all the members of Zvulun? No, every city requires a bezdin of Zvulun, wherever there are Zvulunites living in that city, and that's derived from the word bisharecha. And the other possible resolution would be, what would be if you had a dinu dvarim, some sort of legal case between two members of the same city that belong to two different shvatim? So here the batei dinim of the shvatim would not would not help. One approach would be that in such a case you have to go all the way to the Bezna Gadol in Yerushalayim, but that would overwhelm the Bezna Gadol. There'll be a backlog of cases. So perhaps there was a Bezin of the city that was not in any way connected to any particular Shevet. It was an international Sanhedrin Ketana for all Shvatim in that city, such that if two people within that same city had a dispute, even though they belonged to two different Shvatim, they could avail themselves of the Bezin Shel Ha'ir. So you had in that city, what I meant was Bisharecha. Now the question is the following, but why would you need such a thing if you already have a Bezin of Shvatim? And there are two answers to that question. Number one, because the two disputants belong to two different Shvatim, so neither Bezin of Shevet Ruvein nor Shevet Shimon would have jurisdiction in this case. So you'd go therefore to the Bezin of the Shar, of that generic Bezin that doesn't have a particular face to it, doesn't belong to a particular Shevet. And number two, we have to add the following idea, that what we want to do is we want to have a situation in which, let's say there are minority groups, you know, maybe there's a sizable representation in a particular city of Shevet Zvul. There's a very minimal number of Naphtaliites in that city. And that doesn't justify a Bezdin L'shevet Naphtali, because there are very few, let's say there are five people of Naphtali in that city, so there would not be a Bezin Shel Ha'shevet for Naphtali. So in that case, even if two members of the same Shevet of Naphtali would have a dispute, what Bezin would have the authority to adjudicate between them? And the answer is that in such case you'd go to the Bezin Shel Ha'ir. Then we had a discussion yesterday, I'm just reviewing, in the flip side. And that is the Ramban. The Ramban says that this mitzvah of appointing a Sanhedrin Akhtana for the Shvatim, L'Shvatecha, is not limited to the city, or any particular city, or any number of cities. So for example, let's say within the territory of Zvulun, you would have 15 cities that have sizable populations of Zvulun. Maybe there are a couple of Zvulunites of significant numbers living in other territories, like in Naphtali. So you've got all those Batei Dinim for the Shvatim, and in this case for Shevet Zvulun. But what happens if there is some issue within these Batei Dinim and it's unresolved? Meaning, let's say two Zvulunites are neighbors, they have a dispute, they go to the local city Bezdin of the Shevet Zvulun, and the Bezdin can't come to any final decision. They simply are stumped by the case. Now you and I would have said before the Ramban that in such case we go all the way up to the Bezdin HaGadol, they're the final decisors. But the Ramban suggests that there was another Bezdin Shel HaShvatim, which was the main Bezdin, the overseer. It had a status like the Bezdin HaGadol, but not in terms of all of Klal Yisrael, only in terms of that Shevet. And the Ramban imposes two obligations upon that Bezdin. Number one, in event that the local city Batei Dinim or Bezdin of the Sanhedrin HaKtana could not come to any decision, they would refer to this Bezdin of the Shevet. And number two, says the Ramban, the Bezdin of the Shevet was authorized to institute takonos. And let's say in one particular Shevet, they were lax in a certain area. You know, let's say Ribbis, for example. They saw that violations of Ribbis were widespread, so they needed to make a takon and a harchaka that even something that's not Ribbis should be also, like Avak Ribbis and so on and so on. So the Bezdin that oversees the entire Shevet, they would be authorized to institute those takonos.
And that would be 23?
And it would seem that, from the Ramban, that all these Batei Din are 23. Now, it's possible, again, this is very iffy. Maybe the Ramban means that the Dayanim fit into slightly different categories. What do I mean? You can have a Dayan who could sit on a Sanhedrin because he's an expert in certain areas. And then you can have Dayanim who sit on a Sanhedrin who are experts in everything and all the layers in between. Perhaps, again, this is all with limited liability. I mean, it's all just the figment of Berzon's imagination. Maybe what the Ramban means is that for this Bezdin of the Shevet that oversees all the other Bati Dinim of that Shevet, you would have to appoint Dayanim who are experts in every single area. So that if there was a question that couldn't be decided, we could certainly rely on that Bezdin. Now, if that Bezdin itself cannot come to any decision, then for sure we go up to the Bezdin HaGadol. So also what we're up to for today is Rabbi Yehuda Omer, and we're literally at the end of this sugya, about to start a new sugya. But we just have a few lines left in this sugya. So let's see if we can find Rabbi Yehuda Omer. In my daf, it's an L shape. So in the wide lines, if you drop down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines down, you'll see Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Echad Memuna Al Kulam. There's one Bezdin that oversees all of them. Now, what Bezdin is he referring to? So you could say he's referring to the Sanhedrin HaGedolah, right? And that is the Sanhedrin that sat in the Lishkas HaGozis outside the Beis HaMikdash, and that's the Pshat of Rashi. However, the Ramban is going to say that this Echad Memun Al Kulam is not a reference to the Sanhedrin HaGedolah, but rather it's a reference to the Bezdin of the Shevet that is meant to oversee and supervise all the other Bati Dinim of that Shevet. And the Ramban is going to prove it from the fact that Rabbi Yehuda says Shenemar Titein Lecha is the very same pasuk that we were analyzing. The first pasuk in Parashat Shoftim is Shaltrim Titein Lecha, and Lecha here in this case is a reference to a Bezdin that oversees all the other Batei Dinim of that sort, meaning of that category called Leshvatecha. And again, according to Rashi, Lecha means one Bezdin oversees all of the Bati Dinim and all of Klali. So they have jurisdiction for all cases, and that's the Bezdin HaGadol in Yerushalayim, Lishkas HaGozis. If you go with Rashi's Pshat, then I think I might have an answer to the following question. Okay, to introduce my question, I'm going to ask another question. But my question is a simple question. It's a childish question. What is the word lecha? Is it in plural or in singular? Singular, correct? Lecha as opposed to lechem. Here's my question. If you're talking about one Bezdin that is the final authority for all of Klal Yisrael, then what grammatical form would you have anticipated? You know, I'm trying to lead into a question. What?
Plural.
Yeah, it should have said titein lechem. And Titein Lechem, says Rabbi Yehuda, would be Echad Memuna Al Kulam. And yet, paradoxically, Rabbi Yehuda derives this conclusion from Lecha, from the singular. Now, what I'm about to tell you is based on the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon says that when the Torah says Lechem, and I'll give you an example in just a minute, it's addressing every single individual as a yachid. When the Torah says lecha, it's addressing the entire tzibur as one entity, indivisible. So it's a little bit, you know, counterintuitive. So for example, in the mitzvah sfira, is the mitzvah sfira on the entire tzibur, or is every individual required to count sfira on his own?
Every individual.
And yet the Torah says, usfartem lachem. So the answer is, says the Gaon, Lachem means you and you and you and you. It's addressing every single individual. However, in the case of Shemitah, which means that we have to count every year as year 1, 2, 3, etc., until we get to the 7th year, and then we have to continue counting until we finally get to 7 series of 7, and we get to the 50th year, which is the Jubilee year, Yovel. There the Torah says, in Parshas Bahar, Usfarta Lecha. Which is very interesting, because you and I would have said lecha sounds like it's a chiyuv on each individual. But who's in charge of counting the years of the Shemitah? Only Bezdin. In fact, the highest court in the land. That's Bezdin HaGadol. Because they will sanctify the 7th year as Shemitah, and the 50th year is Yovel. That's a responsibility. It's not incumbent upon you and you and you, in other words, individuals, but rather on the Tzibur. And who represents the entire Tzibur? Sanhedrin Agadola. And they are called Lecha, Usfata Lecha. Or actually, it says Lach. Okay, I don't. That doesn't matter. So if we plug this back into Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda says, the way Rashi interprets Rabbi Yehuda, Echad Memun al Kulam, that we have to make sure that we have a Sanhedrin that is appointed with authority over all of Klal. So Shenemar Titein Lecha, that the word Lecha means the entire community of Israel as one indivisible body. According to Rabban, we're talking about the Bezdin of the Shevet, but not the Bezdin of the Shevet that's appointed in each particular city that has a representative of dwellers of that Shevet, but rather the overriding, supervising Bezdin of the Shevet that will decide and make the final regulations that will apply to all the other Batei Dinim of that sort, meaning the Sanhedrios, Haktanos of that particular Shevet. And finally, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, Lishvatecha Vishaftu. Mitzvah b'shevet ladun eshivto. Now, it's interesting. When Chazal darshan a pasuk, very often they take the last word in one sentence and attach it to the first word in the next sentence. That's exactly what Rabbi Shimon is doing over here. The Torah says, Shoftim v'shotrim titein lecha, etc. And then it says, Lishvatecha, period. And then it says, Vishaftu es ha'am mishpat tzedek. It's the same pasuk, but I mean, you put a period in the middle, right? I'm sure there's an asnachta, I don't know. Take a look. So what Rav Shimon does is, he says, read the two sentences together. Read the last word in one sentence, which says that you should appoint Shoftim Lishvatecha. And then read the first word in the next sentence, which says, Vishaftu. And that means that lishvatecha lishaftu, that your shvatim should be in charge of deciding cases for that shevet. So lishvatecha doesn't just mean, if you only had the first pasuk, that we have to make sure that there, you know, there are batei dinim and all the shvatim, all the territories and so forth and so on, but rather it means that there has to be a shoftim that lishvatecha shaftu, that will judge your shevet. Now, yesterday David asked me a question and he stumped me on a philosophical level, more or less. Why does the Torah require a special bezdin for each shevet? And although I don't have an answer to your question, and it's a difficult question to answer, I can just give you a mathematical conclusion. And that is that the Tzibur of Klal Yisrael is made up of many Tziburim, meaning every Shevet is considered a community unto itself. I'll prove it to you. We have halacha, which also requires a Bez Nagodol, of Shevet Yehudah. If the majority of the members of that Shevet worshipped Avodah Zarah, then there's special dinim that apply to the Shevet as a whole. You see that the Shevet is dealt with as an entity unto itself in halacha. Another example would be what's called Otis of Nachla, that you're not allowed to take a nachla from one shevet and transfer it over to a different shevet. In fact, originally, that's how far it goes, a woman wasn't allowed to marry to another shevet if she had property that she inherited from her father. Later on, they were matir that on Tu B'Av, if you remember the mission at the end of Tainus. So you see that the shevet is an entity unto itself. It has its own character, its own personality. It's an indivisible entity. It's like a tzibur unto itself. And the mitzvah of appointing shoftim and sanhedrin is for the tzibur. The tzibur, as we saw in the pasuk Lecha, is in charge of dispensing this obligation of having a representative, mishpat or bezdin that will deal with that tzibur. So we're dividing up the tzibur according to cities and according to shvatim. And each shevet is mechayev its own bezdin, and each city is mechayev its own bezdin. I am mashalma davidom. I'm sure this is true in every country. I'll just give an example for the United States of America. You have a court system in each state, correct? So you'll have the state court, and then you have jurisdiction over state laws, and then you have the federal court, which will oversee the entire 50. It's still 50, right? They didn't have Okay, I remember they were talking about adding a few, Puerto Rico, I don't know what, but...
Canada.
I'm afraid it's going to go the other way around. Okay, as soon as the Canadian dollar goes back up to par. Now, he has here a quote in the footnote from the Yad Ramah, which I wanted to share with you. And he says the following, that L'Sanhedrin Gedola. Now, you remember yesterday we discussed the following question: what happens if you have a dispute between two individuals who are members of two different Shvatim? And you may recall that we quoted the Yad Ramah that in such a case, since the Beis Din of each Shevet doesn't have jurisdiction over someone from a different Shevet, who's going to decide this case? And this is a common case, right? You have a dispute between two members of two different Shvatim. See, Yad Ramah has what I consider a very surprising Shita, which I don't necessarily understand too well in the technology of it, because the technicality of it. He says that in such a case, they go to the Beis Din HaGadol. And I'm just wondering, how is the Beis Din HaGadol going to deal with this overwhelming, massive amount of material? You know, we've already discussed all the different responsibilities that are incumbent on the Sanhedrin HaGadol. Now you're going to tell me that every single dispute between two members of two different Shvatim is adjudicated, is going to be decided in the Beis Din HaGadol. Rabbeinu Yonah Niskasha Bepirush Zeh. Rabbeinu Yonah had a problem with this Yad Ramah. He says, "Af l'divrei Tanakama yesh la'amid shoftim b'chol shevet v'im kein yesh l'chol adam l'odim b'bezin shel shifto u'ma bo Rav Shimon Gamliel l'hosif." He says, "Al kein kosav shekavodas Rav Shimon Gamliel lachlok al Tanakama l'omar she'ein lasos bezin b'chol ir v'ir el rak bezin echad b'chol shevet v'shevet." So again, it comes out that according to the interpretation of Rabbi Yonah, Rav Shimon Gamliel is arguing with what we came before. Before we had to guarantee that every city would have its own Beis Din, and Rav Shimon Gamliel says, no, the Torah only says Vishaftu, referring to Lishvatecha, that every Shevet has to have its own Beis Din, but there's no requirement that each city should have its own Beis Din. I forgot to bring the Rambam, Hilchas Sanhedrin. Okay. I don't want to delay. Just 1 second, maybe. We used to have a small Rambam here. All right. Yeah, Mishnah Torah. You know where to find it. So we need the chelek that's called Shoftim. It should be the last volume. Thank you so much. So I wanted to just look up the Rambam. I'm pretty sure the Rambam is against Rabbeinu Yonah, and he requires a Beis Din in each Shevet and a Beis Din in each city, both. Okay, Rabbosai, so now we'll look up this Rambam, and then, thank you so much, we'll go on to the next sugya, which is the sugya of Ir Hanidachas. Let me just read the opening Rambam in Hilchas Sanhedrin. Mitzvah Saseh Shel Torah Lemanos Shoftim V'Shotrim B'chol Medino Medina U'B'chol Pelach U'Pelach. Now again, I'm not sure what Medino Medina means. The Kesef Mishnah says that it means Kol Ir V'Ir, which is very interesting. In our lingo, you would never use the word Medina to refer to an ear, but in the Rambam's language, that's what he's referring to. But then the Rambam says U'bechol pelach u'pelach, and the Kesef Mishnah says that if you have a cluster of six cities or more within a certain radius, again you have to know all the details, that's called a pelach, and a pelach is a district, and that district needs a court of its own. The Rambam goes on to say, "Shenemar shoftim v'shotrim titein lecha b'chol sharecha shoftim elu adayanim akvuim bebezdin ubale dinim boim lifneihem." Shotrim Eluheim Bale Makel Uritsua. Now these are the police, they hold the clubs and the straps, Fame Omdu Lifnea Dayanim, and they're attached, so to speak, to the Dayanim. It's almost like, let's say, in an emergency medical case, you would have you know, let's say the most important members of the team, and then you have others who attach themselves, that they will fulfill certain services that are necessary. And where are these dayanim? So you and I would have said these dayanim are in the Bezdin. Says the Rambam, no. Hadayanim mistovavim, they make the circuit, bishvakim, out in the markets, uberachovos, and in the streets, v'alachanuyos, so they check out the stores. Why? L'taken hasharim v'hamidos. In other words, there's a problem because if one store tries to outdo the other store, they may use illegal methods. You know, again, you know, mostly our system halachically is a laissez-faire. It's more of a capitalist system, but there are certain socialist elements to our system. You know, not every method of attracting buyers is legitimate in halacha. This is a whole sugya Bava Basra, for example. It's not clear, halacha, don't come to any conclusions, but it could be you're not allowed to give out free gifts in order to get people to come in. And especially, the halacha is very sensitive. You're not allowed to entice the children, the young children, to come by giving out candies and sweets, because then you'll be taking away, you know, clients from others. And then there's the problem of overcharging. And all this was under the supervision of the dayanim. So there were very strict regulations, and they had to be supervised by the dayanim. But again, the dayanim could say, you know, so a Jew with a long beard and payas comes to me and says, hey, you're not allowed to charge that much, right? So, I'll turn around the sign, you know, from 50, it's, now it says 25 on the other side. And as soon as the rabbi leaves, you know, I'm gonna turn it around to 50 again. So they're not so afraid of the dayanim, but they're afraid of the Shotrim. The Shotrim will, the Rambam goes very, he's really explaining. He says, V'chol lahakos, to hit them, call ma'uves, anyone who rebels against the dayanim and the final decision. So they call ma'aseim al piyat dayanim, to guarantee that everything will be in obeyance with the psak, the decision of the dayanim.
Ask a question?
Yeah, sure.
He's talking about his time, or he's talking about during the Beit HaMikdash?
I would assume he's talking about our time as well. I'm just assuming so. Otherwise, he should have.
How did he know 1,000 years later? What? Where's the tradition 1,000 years later? What they were doing in the Beit HaMikdash? How did it continue for 1,000 years? I mean, I know things can continue, but where does it come from?
I'm not sure what you mean. You think the burden of the proof is on the Rambam to prove that this applies even after the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed?
No. How does he know it came? I mean, was there an oral tradition that continued, that they just knew it happened? Or was it something that, a method that continued to happen amongst Jews? This was the
Again, I can't
the
answer your question, Don, but I'm just saying initially I would say, if somebody would come forward and say, no, these laws only apply when the Beis HaMikdash stood, I would say to that person, the burden of proof is on you. I mean, how do you know? You know, the Rambam doesn't mention anything about the Beis HaMikdash.
Right.
How do you know that it's you know, if it's Avodas HaKarbonos, you know, it has nothing to do with jurisdiction over monetary cases, etc., etc., then if it's Avodas HaKarbonos, I understand I need the Beis HaMikdash. But if you're talking about monetary...
No. The practice was that these shoftim were out in the marketplace.
Right.
So I'm saying, was that a continuous tradition for 1,000 years that they just knew about, or was it a continued yeah. practice of the Jews?
Not only that, it's halachically mandated. The Rabbi's not just telling you, well, that's what I saw in the streets of Cairo. You know,
this is only when we have control over our own land, and we've got the pipe.
Right.
You can't get in Egypt Jewish policemen going around and beating up storekeepers.
Jewish storekeepers.
But even so,
unless the Egyptians allow you to do so. There have been cases. But again, I don't think the Rambam is describing what he saw in front of his eyes. The Rambam is telling you, you know, the ideal halacha. You know, for example, you know, the Rambam will tell you in Hilchas Chametz Matzah that on Leil HaPesach you should be asking questions about Bosa Tzli, or why are we only eating roast meat. And then the Rambam all of a sudden wakes up out of a reverie and he says, but that only applies during the time of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, so let's put this on the side and we begin a sugya called Ir Hanidachas. So if we go back to our Mishnah, and it's just one line in our Mishnah, we always go back to Daf Beis Amud Aleph. The Mishnah establishes that Ein Osim Ira Nidachas LLP Bezdin Shal Shivim V'Echad. So to establish a city as having worshipped idols and they're guilty of the aver of idolatry, we need a Bezdin HaGadol to make that decision. And then the Mishnah goes on and says, Ein Osim Ira Nidachas B'Sfar. Sfar is a city that's on the boundary line, on the borderline. Velo Shalosh, you can't establish three cities as each one an Ira Nidachas, Ore HaNidachas, Aval Osim Achas Oshtayim. You could have one city or even two cities, but not a third city. That's what it says in the Mishnah. So first, of course, the Gemara is always going to ask the same question, Mina Hani Mili. How do we know that there's a requirement of Bezdin HaGadol in order to establish a city as an Ira Nidachas? And then as we go along, we'll go through some of the laws of what is this city and what are they guilty of and what kind of evidence we need and so forth. The real sugya of Ira Nidachas is not here in Sanhedrin. We're only seeing like the tip of the iceberg as far as the requirements of Bezdin and Sanhedrin are concerned. The real sugya is in Masecht Avodah Zarah and the great, great details. Amar Rav Chiyo Bar Yosef of Rav Oshia. Now we're in Parsha Shoftim, and the Torah says, the Omar Kral, the Torah says, Votseisa es ha'isha hu, o es ha'isha hi. I'm going to read the rest of the post. Asher asu es ha'davar ha'ra, ze el she'arecha. Now this pasuk, let's not get confused, is referring to Ishahu o Ishahi, meaning individuals. This is not the parsha of Ira Nidachas. This is a parsha of Yechidim, individuals who are guilty and condemned to death because of their idolatry, their idol worshipping cults. But there's going to be something in this pasuk that sets up a mute, because the Torah says Sha'arecha. The word Sha'arecha, as we saw, refers to the cities, each of which was equipped with a Sanhedrin Akhtana of 23 judges. And that's fine for this idolatry case. Why? Because, as we saw in our Mishnah, in order to condemn someone for a capital punishment, all we need is a Bezdin of 23. We don't have to go to the highest court of Israel. But the Torah says that's only in a case of ha'ish ha'hu o ha'isha ha'hi. It's an individual who's guilty of idol worship. That individual will be condemned by a court in the city that's made up of 23 judges. That's called Sha'arecha. Ish ve'isha atamotzi l'sha'arecha, meaning yechidim who worship the Avodah Zarah, they will be judged in a bezdin of 23 judges that sits in the shar, in the gate of the city. But the Torah went out of its way to tell you v'iatamotzi as a miut, but you cannot condemn an entire city, kol ha'ir kula, an entire city, lisharecha, in the bezdin of the shara, which means the Sanhedrin haktana of 23 judges. Then the Mishnah goes on to tell us that ein osim ir anidachas b'sfar. We have these outlying cities that are on the border, and they're not subject to the law of Ira Nidachas. The Gemara asks immediately, my taima, what's the basis for such a thing? You must have had a pasuk that taught you that. And here we go back to the parsha of Ira Nidachas itself. Until now, Ishahu o Ishahi, that was referring to the parsha of a Yachid who worshipped Avodah Zarah. Now we're going back to the parsha of Ira Nidachas, which is in Parshas Re'eh, and there it says, Yatzu anashim b'nei v'lial mikir becha v'yadichu es yoshvei iram. There's an extra word here in this pasuk. I'll read the pasuk one more time. It says, Yatzu anashim b'nei v'li al mikir becha v'yadichu es yoshvei iram, which means that one of the members of this city was Meidiach. Meidiach means he tempted the people. He said, you know what? I have my deity, and it's unbelievable. I worshipped this deity, and I became a millionaire. You know, it's a good thing to do. You know, I highly recommend it. It's a special skula. You know, everybody talks about skulas today. Now, I'm just curious, have you gentlemen heard about Rabbi Biederman's lecture that he gave before Rosh Hashanah? It made the rounds. It went viral, as we'd say. He said that there's a skula on the night of Rosh Hashanah to read all of Sefer Tehillim twice, and unbelievable yeshuas. You know, he tells one story after the other. He says, I don't believe in skulas, but this skula I believe in. And he quotes Svarim that from the Rishonim that believes in this skula. So anyway, the guy says to his fellow city mates, and he says, I have a great skula. You know, worship Zeus, you know, and do the following, or Pa'ar. And I promise you, you'll be a millionaire. So people, unfortunately, what's the phrase? There's a phrase, you know, people are dummies. I forgot the phrase. That, you know. The olam is golem, you know what I'm talking about? Anyway, so people believe them. What do you say?
Influenced by it.
And they're influenced, yeah. They're like, you know, how do you overcome the temptation? I mean, he guarantees you that he became a millionaire because he started worshiping a certain idol. And the whole city en masse, you know, it's like a cult movement. You know, everybody gets involved here. This is the Billy Graham of his time. You know, everybody goes ahead and worships this idol. But why did the Torah have to point out that this seducer, you know, who's seducing the people to worship an idol, is Mikir Becha? What does that mean, Mikir Becha? It literally means he lives amongst you. So the Gemara darshins, Mikir Becha Marachmano V'lo Min Hasfar. Mikir Becha means he comes from a city that's within the bulk, you know, the middle part of Eretz Yisrael, but not from a city that's situated on the border, on the Gvul.
You said on, you literally mean straddling?
I don't know. I didn't get a chance to look this up. Where is the... Oh, that's going to be the wrong chelik of the Rambam. Just one second. Let's just see if I can tell you where it is. It should be in Hilchas Akum. Since you asked the question, I'd love to research that. Just one second. Is there... I don't see the Tzion here today in Mishpat. I don't know why.
He's saying it is a border town or it's not a border town?
A border town is excluded because it's not called Bikir Becha. Becha means in your midst.
Okay.
But Michael's asking, what are the details here? What is a border town like?
How close?
I'll tell you what I think. Again, this is just a wild guess. But we really have to look this up in Hilchas Akum. I just don't find the Ein Mishpat here, but I'm sure it's in Hilchas Akum, maybe in Perek Dalet. The Rambam dedicates an entire chapter in Hilchas Akum to the details of Ir and Itachas.
Historically, a border town was a town that protected the border.
Right, but I think halachically, what it means is that it's within 70 amos. In other words, the last house, you know, let's say if you're on the northern border, right? So this city, the northernmost... A dweller lives within 70 amos of the boundary. You know, you go up to Metula, you'll see you can go to certain places. They have an ice skating rink there. You know, you can mamish see Lebanon. You know, you get up there.
What's the relevance of
70 amos? 70 amos is considered somach. For example, if you want to know whether or not you're a Ben Krach that reads the Megillah on the 15th of Adar, if you're located in a city that's outside of the metropolis but within 70 amos, then it's considered part of the wider periphery. And then you have also in Erevin and also in Ir Miklat, you know, in many cases the shear of proximity with regard to a city is 70 amos. Again, I don't know, I'm just partially guessing, and there's somebody up there in Shemayim that's laughing at me now, probably. But that's what I'm just intuitively guessing. Well, if we get a chance, we could look it up in the Rambam Hilchas Akum. Now, he has a Ran in the footnote here, Mesifta. The Ran says the following, based on the Balamor who came before the Ran. Ein machriven es ha'ir kedin ir amidachs aval toshaver nidonim ki yechidim ha'ovdim avodazor v'dina b'skila u'mamonim ein ton sreif. Did anybody follow that? I read that pretty quickly. So let me translate that. There are two differences between an individual or even a group of individuals that worshipped an idol and a city that's guilty of worshipping an idolatry in the entire city and it becomes an ir nidachas. The two differences are the following. In the case of an individual, then that individual who's accused of worshipping an idol will be tried in a court of 23 judges. All the evidence will be brought against him, and if condemned to death, he will be put to death by skila, by stoning. That's in the case of a yochid. In the case of a city, the judgment will go to the highest court of Israel, the Beis Nagol B'Yushalayim. A Beis Din of 23 judges does not have jurisdiction over the din of Ir HaNidachas, cannot generate the status of an Ir HaNidachas. If the city is found guilty, then the Misa, the death penalty, is not Skila, but rather Saif. Saif means beheading. And there's another din in Ir HaNidachas, that all the possessions of that city are brought to a public burning, and they all have to be... The whole city, basically, I mean, its possessions have to be burned.
But not,
just one more sentence, Mike, so I don't lose my trend. What about a city that's on the border, a border city? So the Ran says the following. Don't misunderstand the Gemara here. When we say Bikirbecha to the exclusion of Sfar, we don't mean that there's no guilt or condemnation of an idol worshiper in that city, you know, that's on the borderline. Let's say Metula, I'm just throwing out a possibility, is considered a Sfar. It's on the border of Lebanon, right? So it doesn't mean that if the people of Metula, Chavshon, violate the Isur of Avodah Zarah, that they go scot-free. What it means is that even if the entire city of Metula, which is on the Sfar, on the borderline, were enticed to worship Avodah Zarah, they would be judged as yechidim, as individuals, which means, number one, you would only require a Beis Din of 23 judges. Each individual would have to be judged with evidence on his own. You know, you have to bring two witnesses, etc., etc. Number three, the Misa would be a Misa Skila. And number four, there would be no din of Sreifa, of burning their artifacts. If, on the other hand, Metula is south of Lebanon, so it's not a border city, then if the entire city would be guilty, Hashem, of worshipping Avodah Zarah, then we would need the Beis Nagadol, we would have a din of Saif in place of Skila, and all the artifacts, all the possessions of that city would have to be burnt. Yeah, Michael.
I presume the possessions would exclude things like mezuzot and sifrei Torah.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I have to know more. If you have a Rambam Hilchas Aku, because there is a din called Sefer Torah Shekosvo Min. Do you remember that?
That's costly.
Right, no, I'm just saying that, you know, as shocking as it sounds, or at least to me it sounds shocking, that you could actually burn a Sefer Torah in the case that it was written by the wrong person. I would just wonder what would be. But you're right, I'm pretty sure these are all sugyas in Avodah Zarah. Michael, you're a Daf Yomi guy. Did you do Avodah Zarah?
Yeah.
But it's a while ago. Right. No, it could be. Again, I didn't learn Avodah Zarah. It's one of my many likuyim, you know, my holes and gaps in Haskalah, you know, Chorb Haskalah, these shows go. But I think the Gemara has a special drasha to exclude Heftei Shamayim, if I'm not mistaken. The Heftei Shamayim are not burnt, but the entire city is, all the possessions are burnt. Yeah, Asher?
Yeah, I mean, but also even the other people that didn't do Avodah Zarah, they lose their possessions too, living in that city. I think if I remember
correct,
that everybody's right. The whole city's everybody's.
In the case of a Sfar, we're not going to apply this din of Sreifa, and the Misa will be Saif. Each person in the city will be judged individually, even if every last member of that city would be guilty of Avodah Zarah, and there would be no din of Sreifa. And you would not need a Beis Din of 71.
Let's say for Rambam, is it Akamin?
That's in Matan, the first volume of 14 volumes. See if you can find in the fourth parak, he has a whole parak dedicated to the laws of Ir HaNidachas. So that's cool, because you don't even have to get up from your chair. So I want you should know something. the Bali Musar of our generation are not all, how should I say, in one uniform, universal opinion about all this technology. What do I mean? There are Bali Musar, again, this is going to sound strange to your ears, who believe that it's better to get up from your seat to get a sefer than to look it up in your computer. Now, I'm not telling you I advocate that, but I just want you to know that there is such an opinion, because the amelus and the tircha that you put into learning is a major part of learning. So the Bali Musa say, you know, the fact that you think you're great because all you need are your fingers, you have everything, they're actually not so happy about that. Okay, now we get to the next sugi of Irinidas. Velo Sholosh, the Mishnah says that the maximum number of cities that could be established as an Ir Nidachas is two and not three. And the Gemara wants to know, how do we derive such halach? Dechsiv, again back in the parash of Ir Nidachas, it's in Dvarim Perek Yud Gimel, and I'll read the whole pasuk. It says, Ki tishma ba'achas orecha. Now Rabosa, if you hear the word ba'achas orecha, what impression would you get? What's the maximum number of cities that could be subject to the law of Ir Nidachas? It says, Ki Sishma Bach, only one. And paradoxically, the word one here is coming to exclude three. How so? Avalosim Achas Oshtayim. And yet we can take the word Achas and expand it to include two cities. So you could have two cities, each one is an Ir Nidachas. But up to and not beyond two cities, meaning three is already excluded. How do we know that the word achas here means one or two? I always saw the word achas here, right? One. Dechsiv orecha. It says achas orecha. Now, according to the laws of Hebrew grammar, this is impossible. You can't say achas orecha. Orecha means a plural. Achas means one individual city. So what we do is you use the word orecha in the plural to teach you again what's the minimum of a plural. Two, right? Ein rabim ella shnayim. That's called mi rabim shnayim. And then we're going to use the word achas, which is totally out of place here because we're talking about two cities. It says orecha in the plural to exclude something. What's it going to exclude? Well, since The minimum of a rabbin is two, the achas is coming to exclude three. Tana Rabbana.
If the answer would be you only exclude one, what should the Torah have said?
Achas. If you only that the maximum would be achas, yeah. It should have been achas ir. It should have said ir achas. But it says orecha. Orecha is in the plural. So it's a very strange syntax. You know, achas orecha. You know, your cities, but achas. What does that mean? If it's your cities that are, so what are you telling me, achas?
Achas orecha can't mean one of. Achas means one of. One of your cities.
I mean, right. Achas, if it would have said ir achas, it would have been clear that it's only one city. Why did it say in this very strange syntax achas orecha? It doesn't even say achas me orecha. It says achas orecha. So we start with the word orecha, and then we add the word achas. Orecha is a ribui to include shnayim. And how do we know it's not shnayim and beyond, etc., etc.? Because it says achas. Tana Rabbanan. Okay, we're back to the same pasuk again. It says, "Ki tishma bi'achas orecha, achas v'lo sholosh." That we cannot establish three cities as an ear, as orim hanidachos, if you want to use it that way. Ata omer achas v'lo sholosh, o eino al achas v'lo shtayim. I might think that the word achas doesn't exclude three, but rather excludes two, which would mean that we cannot establish two cities as Arim Nidachos. Kshu Omer Orecha, since the Torah says Orecha in the plural, Harei Shtayim Amor. It means to teach me two cities. Hama Anima Kaim Achas. So how do I reconcile that with the fact that it says one city? And the answer is Achas Velo Sholosh.
So what happens if there is a third one? They're judged individually?
Right, judged individually. Excellent. And same thing.
Well, what was? I mean, we have to ask what the reason of Hashem was, but yeah, presumably you get more than two. There's a problem within Klal Yisrael.
Right. So I'll tell you what. If you want, just for a split second, I don't usually like to do this, but take a look at Rabbi Yochanan, which would be about seven lines further. Let's see if we can find Rabbi Yochanan. One second, just give me the word karach I'm looking for.
So six lines from the bottom.
6 lines up from the bottom. Do you see it?
Yeah.
Oh, Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Ein Osim Mishum Karcha. Now let's try to understand what that means for a second, even though we're skipping a little bit of ahead of ourselves. Mm-hmm. Why is it that we don't want to establish three cities as Ir HaNidachas? Now keep in mind, the city has to be razed, correct? Mm-hmm. We have to burn all its artifacts. So imagine if I could give you a mashal, and that's the Gemara's mashal of a karcha. You know, they used to have in the old days, I think they still have it today, a drug. I don't know if anybody knows what it's called.
A drug.
It's a special kind of drug. I don't know the name of it right now. You could Google it on your computer and they'll tell you what the name is. That if you put that drug on your body, it immediately removes the hair.
Okay.
When I was a kid, it was called, but this is a company name, Nair.
Yeah, I remember.
And
military.
In the military. In some yeshivas, by the way, they used to use it to shave, because they were opposed to shaving. Again, I'm telling you something that's from my lifetime. You know, it sounds like a thousand years ago.
Female product,
right? It's a female product, but so the mashal of the Gemara is: imagine you take, I'll use three fingers because we're trying to exclude three cities, right? You take three fingers and you dip them into this. It's a liquid kind of drug, right. Mm-hmm. And then you put it on your head. It's not something you'd want to do. But by the way, there were certain cults that actually did that. But anyway, so what do you look at when you see your head? It looks like you got bald spots all over your head. It's very odd to look like that. But again, you know, Hare Krishna, I don't know whoever used to do this, but there were, you know, cults that did that. So Rabbi Yochanan says that since you're going to raise a city, which is an Ir HaNidachas, to the ground, it's like you've balded a spot in Eretz Yisrael. So if we view Eretz Yisrael as the head, what's it called? Not the scalp? What's it called? The head of a person? You know, the top part of the head. I don't know.
Skull?
Maybe the top of the skull. If you view Eretz Yisrael as a skull, then once you have three cities that were raised, it looks like you've got three bald spots. You know, if there are only two, okay, you know, your hair's not growing in two places. But now the Gemara goes on to analyze that this is a security issue. Why? Because the enemies of Israel, and Baruch Hashem, we have a lot of them these days, but the enemies of Israel see so many cities have been destroyed, they think that something's going on and the whole of Israel is now falling apart, mm-hmm. And then they start attacking Israel.
That's also, I think also, maybe one of the pshat for and the border city also. Because Manasaf is also a security reason.
We're going to get to that as well. Yeah.
That's a very good theory.
So I'm just showing you this Rabbi Yochanan that's going to come around the bend.
Okay.
Zimnim Omar Rav. Now, on certain occasions, Rav used to say the following. Then he changed his mind. He used to say, "Bebezdin echad hu dien osim, habishnayim ushlosha bate dinim osim." One Bezdin, let's say for example there are 71 members of the High Court, correct? And a generation goes by. All of those, again, I'll give you an extreme case. I don't know if it has to be all, maybe the majority is enough, but anyway, the members of the court have gone the way of all flesh. So now there's a young, you know, the younger court, you know, new members of the court, and it's a new Bezdin, because it's made up of new judges. These are no longer the old judges. So the first Bezdin, says Rav, is allowed to make up to, but not beyond, two cities as Arei Nidachos. However, the next Bezdin that replaces this Bezdin, after this Bezdin, you know, the demise of this Bezdin, the people die, then the replacement Bezdin is allowed again to make another two cities. So it's like every generation you could have two cities. that became Ari Nidachos. Rav is only worried about Karacha, so to speak. You remember about the bald spots, right? Only within a single generation.
Can once it's been destroyed, at some point, can it be resettled, that area, or the remain desolate?
Again, you're embarrassing me because I haven't learned Avodah Zarah, but I'm pretty sure that you're allowed to resettle the city. But you have to know Avodah Zarah for that. If anyone has a Rambam, I can answer all your questions in a jiff, but I just don't want to. Mada, it's the first volume of the Mishnah Torah. Okay. Well, we don't have that much time, but.
Wow.
Now, Rav changed his mind. Why? Zimnin Omar Rav, if you don't mind, just to save me time, Michael, open up to the fourth chapter of Avodah Zarah. So start perusing it as we speak. And Rav now changes his mind.
You don't know the page in line, right?
Right, and he says, Afilu v'shnayim u'shlosha v'tidinim, even if you go another generation, even a third generation, li'olam ein osim, the maximum number over the course of Jewish history is going to be two and not three. My time at the Rav Mishum Karcha. Right? Rav is now concerned about Karcha. Which means that it really looks like, you know, there's so many bald spots because we've erased from the map of Israel more than two cities. That's not good. And it would matter not whether it's one generation or another generation. Just 1 second. I'm just trying to peruse this very quickly. Ain donin ir ani dachzel bebesin shel shivim v'echad. Ain, okay. Ain osin ir ani dachz besfar. Oh, here's the Rambam's understanding of Karcha. Why don't we establish? Well, again, this is Usher's application of Karcha to the case of Sfar. Ain osin ir ani dachz besfar. So the borderline cities are very critical for security purposes. Ein bezdin echad oseh shalosh ayoros nidachos. Wow, bezdin echad. It sounds like the Rambam is passing like Rav's original position that it's only bezdin echad that cannot make more than two. Then the Rambam says that even Bezdin Echad, okay, this is the sugya Rabbi Yochanan we didn't get to yet, but even Bezdin Echad, who are enjoined from making three cities, that's only, says the Rambam, if they're in proximity one to the other. Amal im hayu meruchakos, if you have cities that are far distant, again, we have to know what that means, then you can make even three cities or more cities in Tir and Dachas. Okay, now he goes into the details of how a city becomes an Ir Nidachas. Alright, this is really a long... Ir Nidachas. And where does he get to the burning of the city? This is... Okay, so I'll do this, you know, after I let you go, because I just want to get Amar Eish Lakish Lo Shanu El. Oh, this is what we saw in the Rambam. Amar Eish Lakish Lo Shanu El B'Makom Echad Aval B'Shnayim U'Shloshim Mekomos. So let me give you one possibility. What does it mean in different Mekomos? Rambam says Meruchakos. You may recall that the land of Israel was divided into how many countries, so to speak?
12.
Three. There was Yehuda, Evra Yarden, and Golil. And it could be that what Reish Lakish has in mind, again, I have no way of knowing right now, is that you can set up two Arei Miklat in Yehuda, but no more. But at the same time, you could set up two Arei Miklat, if need be, in Evra Yarden, and another two in Golil. Or Yehuda, whatever I said, I don't remember. So in other words, the total number of Arei Nidachas at any given moment in history, according to Reish Lakish, could be six. Again, I don't know if this is correct.
Mm-hmm.
Rabbi Yochanan Omar Ein Osim Mishum Karcha. Rabbi Yochanan says that there's an absolute rule that knows no exception, that the maximum number of cities within Eretz Yisrael that can become Ari Nidachos is two, not more than two. And that's called Karcha. So he writes here in the footnote, L'shitas Rabbi Yochanan, Ein lasos yosem ishtei arim nidachos, afilu bekama mekomos, even if they're separated throughout the land. The yesh levar lefizes loshan ha-mishnah, vol osim achas oshtayim, achas b'mokom echad, oshtayim b'shnei mekomos. In other words, according to Rabbi Yochanan, in one makom, you're only allowed one ear hanidachas. In two makomos, you're allowed two are nidachos. Aval l'shitas Reish Lakish, gam b'makom echad mutalasos shtei arim. Wow, so he's saying the machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish is whether or not you're allowed to have two cities that are already nidachos in close proximity. Rabbi Yochanan prohibits it and Reish Lakish permits it. So again, we'll have to, I thought maybe we'd finish up to the end of the sugya today, but we'll have to leave that for again, I don't know if you could be here on Thursday. I could be here on Thursday. I got the okay from on high. So even though it's already Erev Sukkot, but we have a very short period of time between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, yeah, with Shabbos in the middle. So I don't know if you could be here on Thursday. Let me know if you can.
No, it's not tomorrow.
Now let me see if I can give you, no, tomorrow I can't be here. Now let me see if I can give you an answer about whether the city could be rebuilt, if I can only find the part of the Rambam where he says you have to burn down the city. Again, the shiur is over, Rabbi Osa, but just to try to answer Don's question. Where is the Rambam? It's a call over to me. To see here, the Rambam is talking about how you make it into an ear and idachas. Do you need most of the city, the whole city? You have to really go through this. here it is. Maybe this will help us. Okay. So this is the Rambam in Perek Hey, Perek Dalet Melukas Akum. Halacha Hey, Perek Dalet Halacha Hey. He says the following. Again, after all the requirements of Ir Nidachas have been fulfilled, his makin is called Nefesh Adam Asher Ba Lefi Charev. So the Charev is that's Sayev. Okay. Then he says the following. Umekabtzim, and we gather together Kol Shlala. El Toch Rechova. Rechova, I think, means the center of the city, if I'm not mistaken.
They have to build one if it didn't exist. If there wasn't a road, they have to build one. Oh. I think that's the
okay. And he says the following. Visarfin, right, it says, Mekabzin is called Shlola, Toch Rechova. Visarfin is called Shlola, Usrefa Mitzasehi. The Rambam wants to tell us it's a separate mitzvah to burn all the shalal. Now, nichsei atzadikim shevetocha. What happens if there are tzadikim who have possessions that are in the city? You know, like let's say you own another another apartment and it happens to be located in that city. He says, nisrafim bechlal shalala. That even though that nichsei tzaddikim, but since it's within the city, again you have to know the details here, then we burn that as well. Then the Rambam says you're not allowed to have hanah from the city called anenami menu b'kol shu loke. In addition, there's a losas. V'eino nivneis, I finally found it. V'eino nivneis li'olam. Okay, you're not allowed to rebuild the city. Wow, there's another law of the Torah to rebuild the city. However, mutalasos ginos upardesim, you're allowed to make the city into a farming area. So again, we'd have to go through this entire chapter, to really get a picture of Yerin Yidach. That's why I told you at the outset that we're learning only the tip of the iceberg of Yerin Yidach.
So it means that if there is more than two and you can't rebuild them, if you do a lot of them,
Right, a large part of Eretz Yisrael becomes Kerea.
Yeah, so it's and a security, potential security issue.
Right. So, Belina, tomorrow we'll try to get some of the more details.
It shows that things are rotten.
Not tomorrow, I mean on Thursday.
Things are rotten in River City, so.
Yeah.